This is Let's Talk Business with your host, Mark Ebinger. Now, here's Mark.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Business podcast, a show that highlights and promotes entrepreneurs to learn more about their vision, goals, and marketing strategy. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about the upcoming Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Visionary of the Year campaign. We're also going to learn how to tell if your bookkeeper is doing enough for your business. In studio with us today is Mason Colvin, the owner of MCC Insurance Agency and a 2024 Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Visionary of the Year candidate. Mason, excited to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Good to be here.
I've been trying to get you on for a long time. He's been ducking me, but we finally got him on. So excited to talk about what you're passionate about, Mason. Also in studio with us today is Sarah Faith, the campaign development manager of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. And we have Imad Gurgis, a bookkeeping expert and the owner of Simply Bookkeeping. Imad, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure to be here, Mark. Thanks again.
Is tax season kicking your butt? Or?
Yes, it is.
Love it. All right, I'm your host, Mark Ebinger, the owner of Krukus Virtual Staffing, a company that specializes in hiring virtual assistants from outside the United States. Now, a quick reminder to follow the Let's Talk Business podcast on all major podcast platforms and social media where you can catch video versions of the show, which is personally how I like to watch the show. And yes, I do watch myself back, especially when I'm dressed sharp like this. It's like my wife actually will probably watch the show now that I'm dressed nice. So you can catch all the shows, the podcast episodes, and the videos easily by going to our website at satalkradio.com. Now, if you're going to be in the San Antonio area on Thursday, May 16th, be sure to join us at the next Let's Talk Business Mega Mixer. We're expecting 150 to 200 business owners and entrepreneurs on site to mix, mingle, and connect with each other to do more business. The last one was a huge success. Imad, I know you were one of the gold sponsors on that one, but you're going to be out of town on the next one, aren't you?
Unfortunately, you picked the day that I will be out of town, Mark.
That's
but
right.
It was a
He's got to get a vacation
event.
In after season.
No, he doesn't. He needs to be at the mixer. I'm just kidding. So, but we'll catch you on the one after that. We're doing them every quarter. Just love it. Absolutely love our
mixers.
The format
are fantastic. Oh, they're absolutely fantastic.
Awesome. So, what did you like about the last one?
I liked the number of people that were there. And I really liked, there were so many groups, people from different groups that I network with. And very rarely do you see them cross-mingle. But you really pulled in everybody. So,
Great point.
I think the show has a pretty good-sized footprint. Plus, I do a lot of networking as well. I don't know if I'm as good at networking as you are, but maybe I need to get you on the side of helping promote the Let's Talk Business podcast. See how many people you can bring in. That'd be awesome, right? And so next time around, we're promoting Discovery Camps, which is, you know, about kids with cancer and stuff like that.
Amazing.
But I wouldn't be opposed to supporting what you guys are doing maybe on the next year kind
next
of go
year.
Around.
Yeah,
so,
that'd be awesome.
I mean, we're always looking for good organizations to support with our ticket sales. So, all right. So, you can find out everything about the podcast or the mixer, the podcast mixer, by going to our website at satalkradio.com. So a quick shout out to RSVP San Antonio is one of the gold sponsors for the upcoming Let's Talk Business Mega Mixer. RSVP provides direct mail advertising to the most affluent households in the San Antonio area and is a proven direct marketing solution that has been driving qualified leads to advertisers for nearly 40 years. If you're a local business who wants to reach the right people, the right message through the right channels, reach out to Ben Tillery today at 210-850-3867. That's 210-850-3867, and let them get your business in front of the most affluent households in the San Antonio area. Ben definitely knows what he's doing. Super excited to have him as a gold sponsor at the next event. All right, so Mason and Sarah, you guys are both here to help promote the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's event. So whoever wants to take the first question is like, tell me what the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society is and what their mission is here in the San Antonio area.
Let's have the expert.
Sarah, rock on.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. So Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are the largest blood cancer nonprofit organization in the country. Our goal is to find that cure for blood cancer while helping patients and their families through this really difficult diagnosis to get to survivorship. So we talk about what we do as an organization. You know, there are so many wonderful ones out there that are working towards that mission of, you know, curing cancer. We do focus on blood being that research is a big part of that. And what we find during our research is we've been able to actually help other cancers with their treatment options as well because of studying the blood.
How big of a problem is that here in San Antonio area?
It's a pretty prevalent problem, I would say. The hard part is if they don't, because we work on the research part and patient support services, we don't always get all of the numbers of from the hospitals of who's being diagnosed, because not everyone gets a chance to use our services. There's so many opportunities out there for our services, and they don't always know about them.
Okay, and Mason, how did you get involved with this, with the LLS?
Well, it was one of my peers that we were going to have a coffee, and then Sarah was there. So I got nominated. So I was nominated to be a visionary. And to be honest with you, when we sat down, I was interested because I didn't really know what LLS did. And literally, it took me 5 minutes of researching to figure out what the what they do. The disease is lymphoma melanoma. I mean, 90%, what is it, 90% of the patients are under 20, so it's a kid's disease. What they do for these folks, just a way to give back. I mean, if it was my family or your family, if you got that diagnosis, it's just important. Wouldn't you want these services to be available? And when they talked to me about the Visionary Campaign, it seems such a unique way to bring new people in. So it's for South Texas, right? Our campaign, and as I understand it, the campaign is nationwide, but this one's for South Texas. So there's 12 of us that are going to raise money from a 10-week sprint. And I'm learning, it sounded like a marathon when you first talked to me, but now I'm realizing it's a 10-week sprint from March 28th to June 7th to get the word out and to raise money. So very excited, and now I'm just all in. All in learning fundraising by fire. You think tax season is tough right now for a bookkeeper trying to be fundraising when you've never done it. But it's such a great opportunity to kind of pull a team together. So I got my family involved. And what I love, you talk about networking. It took me 5 minutes to get the word out. Oh, yeah. And my networking partner was like, yes, we're in. So I've got 10 folks that are jumping in to help. And we'll see. We'll see what we can do. So we start really in, what, 9 days or 9 or 10 days?
It's almost here.
And then we'll get rocking and rolling.
All right, love it. And so you guys, so what specifically it does here in the San Antonio area for folks is it's providing benefits. Can you walk through some of those benefits real quick?
Absolutely. So kind of mentioned we work in a research aspect. So we've put about $1.7 billion into research, which benefits country at large, but our patients here to have different options than just chemotherapy, immunotherapy is different options for them. And then the big piece is that patient services and support, which Mason is championing actually during his campaign. Each candidate gets to pick one of the three, advocacy being our third pillar, to represent, talk about what we're doing out in the community. So just in last year, we gave out about $5 to $7 million in copay financial need assistance just to South Texas, you know, citizens, people that lived here. Nationwide, it's, you know, copay assistance is a big deal. Not all organizations have the ability to give that for patients. You know, they have to pay it. They have minimums that they have to meet. And cancer is very expensive to get that care that you need. And so that's a big piece for us. How do we give patients the opportunity to get the treatment that they need, break down those barriers to whatever their insurance is? How do we make sure that they all get that same opportunity, equitable opportunity to treatment and care to get through the diagnosis to survivorship with, you know, hopefully minimal side effects? And that's another big thing why research is always evolving is what we know now versus what we knew even 10, 15
for
years
sure.
ago. You know, the treatment was amazing and it killed the cancer. And then what comes after that? Is it another diagnosis? Is it long-term side effects? And especially kids. Mason mentioned that, you know, we see it so heavily. Actually, out of pediatric cancers, 40% of them are blood cancers. So that means that leukemia is very prevalent in kids when they get diagnosed with the cancer. And so how do we do better for them? Because being treated as an adult is very different than being treated as a child. And actually, shockingly, a lot of people don't realize this, that many treatments that are out there on the market are for adults first, not for kids. So what does that mean? They're getting smaller doses, maybe some adjustments, but it wasn't made for them. It was made for an adult in mind, and our bodies are very different. And so that's been a big piece. I could talk about all day our Dare to Dream project, which is just such a huge piece of what LLS is pushing forward. We're like, all right, blood cancers are number one in pediatric cancer care. We're the majority. We need to do better for kids. And that's where that Dare to Dream project, and we're putting money specifically behind that for clinical trials, you know, all the way to scholarship programs for when they've put their life on hold because they're going through a cancer treatment. So how do we put kids first to get to that survivorship?
How does, you know, how are they recipients chosen?
I mean, like a patient, if they wanted to sign up.
How does they, because you have to choose, right? Because you got limited resources on who gets the benefits, right? What? How do you guys figure that part out?
I mean, I will say that is above me in on the national team. But I would say that one thing that we do talk about is we have the ability to serve more people. Not enough people know about, oh, there's financial needs or assistance. You get a cancer diagnosis, get a stack of papers. They want to start treatment immediately, as soon as possible, because we're fighting something that is growing. And how do we, you know, you're in the chaos of your life's been turned upside down, and it's like, okay, we're trying to make sure we get treatment started, and medical insurance is calling me, and all of these things are happening. It's easy to forget, like, oh gosh, like, I could go fill out some paperwork and probably get some funds for that. That's the step where we're like, these campaigns, while we're raising funds for research and it's so important, we also are like, there needs to be awareness more. This organization's here. They don't just do research. There's patient services, too, mm-hmm. that some go unused because people don't know, like, oh, I can apply for the urgent need program and get $500 right away. I could fill out that application online. There's something from your doctor, but truly, most people that apply do get it.
So awareness is a huge part of what you guys are doing.
Awareness is a huge
part. When you have more money than the demand, That tells me that, yeah, people just need to, because you know the need is out there, the demand's out there, they're just not getting the awareness on it.
Yeah.
So talk about the three pillars real quick. So of the LLS.
Yeah. So research, I mentioned that $1.7 billion in the 75 years we've been around. And again, when we started, it was actually a family who lost their son to leukemia and there was a 0% chance of survival. And they said, we don't want this to happen to somebody else. What can we do? A foundation was born that has grown into the organization we have today, and going from a 0% chance to an 80 to 90% chance of survival now just shows that 75 years of hard work. Patient support services, as I mentioned, that need, whether that actually be financial assistance to nutrition support to, we actually have clinical oncologists on staff. So there's clinical social work oncology social workers that are on staff that you can call from 9 to 9. You have a question. Hey, I got this from my doctor. What does this mean? What do I qualify for? How can I get some services, peer-to-peer support, all of those wonderful things. We have an amazing First Connection program that's nationwide. And maybe you get a very specific blood cancer diagnosis and no one else in our immediate area is diagnosed with it, but someone in Chicago is. You can get connected to them and talk to them. So some really cool things. And then advocacy, because we have all these great new treatments and, you know, support. But what good is it if your insurance says nope, or you have to meet a certain minimum that you can't, you know, even just our, you know, the cap that you have to meet to get the rest of your services covered sometimes is so high. Your deductible, it's so high. So how do we fight for better at our federal and state levels to share with lawmakers the important work we're doing and why it's important to continue to support us? Especially our kids. There's a STAR program, and it's just how do we get Medicare to cover some of those things for our kids and continue to put money towards childhood cancer research.
So let's talk a little bit about what the LLS Visionary Campaign is.
Yeah. So that's actually the campaign I work on. I'm the manager for just this campaign I work on year-round, but it is a 10-week sprint. I know you think the 10 weeks goes by. I work for this 10 weeks all year, and it goes by so quickly. But it's an opportunity to work with leaders in the community, like Mason, and get them involved with LLS. Some of them have a blood cancer mission connection. Some do not. And it gives them an opportunity to participate in this campaign and raise funds, as much funds as you can in 10 weeks. At the end of the 10 weeks, we do a big gala, celebration, and we announce who has raised the most funds because it is a blind competition. Nobody knows what the others are raising at this time. But it's fun, and the other great piece about it that makes it a little bit different is you only do it once. So you kind of give it your all during those 10 weeks. You don't run again, and that's what makes it special as well.
What's the overall goal to try and raise?
Yeah, this year we want to raise $1 million, which we've done in years past. And so we're just really excited to get back to that million.
How's that million broken down?
Well, that comes to the competition piece. It just depends. I would say our average, like Canada average last year, was about 70,000.
Okay.
So no last year we had 10
candidates. No pressure.
Last year we raised about 720 and had 10 candidates. So it was about 72 last year on the average. But I mean, really, it's every candidate has a different reason why they're doing this and what they want to do. And most of them have never fundraised before, which is what my job is. How do I help you think through that strategically, build out a plan to get to whatever your goal is and take, you know, what does your network look like? Where are your strengths? About 65% of the funds raised are just individual gifts, the people giving 25, 50, 100 bucks.
And Mason, how's the preparation been? How's the tutelage been so far?
The tutelage has been great. She's been very patient from the deer in the headlights. Wait a minute. But it's been good. The hardest part to kind of get going was to figure out, okay, what's the why? What's the mission going to be? What are we going to really hone in on? So it was pretty quick with the patient support. We hit that one pretty quickly because doing health insurance, I mean, every day I just sit with people trying to get care and the money and the financial constraints they have to get the care they need. So as soon as I understood what the patient support service did, it was just natural. That was number one. The second thing that she said was really important is you got to have a team name to kind of get people rallied to. So our team is Team Hope Warriors. We did that because, you know, these folks that we're going to support are on a journey. And unfortunately, not every journey is going to have a happy ending. We hope and we pray that there'll be remission, but that might not be the case. But what we do know is all those journeys are going to start exactly the same way. They're going to have a child that's going to all of a sudden, they're sitting in front of a doctor with their child and they get a cancer diagnosis. And you can just imagine what that moment must be like for them. So really hope, we were very intentional with the hope. The first thing those families need for that journey coming up is they need hope. So we're hoping, or no pun intended, we get the word out, we can get the funds there. Because when you think about it, everything starts with hope, and then hope leads to strength. And then strength will eventually lead to resiliency. So again, kind of going back of, wow, just an opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be part of this, to make an impact is just, when they came to me originally, I was probably like, what? I don't know if I can do this. But like I said, it took 10 minutes to realize what an important thing this is to go give it your all. That 10 weeks does feel like a sprint to me. And what I keep asking Sarah is, okay, am I on the right track? Here's what I'm doing. Because you don't know. You just don't know. We've got the team together. We got some events planned. So we think we have a pretty good strategy. But I don't know if this is going to lead to $2 or if this is what it's going to lead to. But we're excited. And we're excited at this point to get going. And then it's just going to be a countdown. So we're on a countdown to go live right now. And as soon as March 28th hits, we're on a countdown to gala. So we're excited. I'm excited to get going.
What are you hoping to accomplish during this?
Well, the first thing is just getting the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society message out. I mean, like Sarah's saying, I didn't even know. I knew kind of LLS. I kind of heard the concept, but I didn't know it was in San Antonio. I didn't know about the visionary. I knew a little bit because the person that nominated me a few years ago, you know, I had donated to her campaign.
She was the winner, so no pressure.
Yeah, she was the winner. No pressure with her. But now, literally getting the word out, been a great opportunity with networking folks, how quickly they've just said yes. Because part of the learning is, well, who would want to volunteer? Who would want to spend the time? How much time are we asking from folks? So we've kind of normalized that. And then kind of a strategy of how do we go? And the core group has been very good to give guidance. Some of them, I've met people that have done fundraising for a living, and you realize that, wow, there is actually a process and a strategy to do it. Trying to learn that as quick as you can. And then, you know, I asked, I didn't ask what the winning would be. What was my question? Okay, what's embarrassing? So if I do this, like what's
no, every
just,
dollar makes a difference.
Every dollar makes a difference. So I'm hoping to get word out there. I'm hoping to get just the word out to a lot of different folks. As we use social media and we put posts out, we're really going to ask that folks view those and just send them out because you just have no idea. Like one repost of LLS, if that gets three people to make a donation, we're three people closer to where we want to be. So,
excellent. And that's where you kind of stress test your network. You know what I mean? You find out how good are you at building relationships mm-hmm. when you start asking for something like that too. So that's a growth part of it. You know
it's
I mean?
A growth, but it's funny because it's the money for the donation is one, but asking other folks to come volunteer mm-hmm. when they aren't necessarily impacted by LLS and the fact that they just came, yeah, I'm in. What do you need? Was just amazing. Sometimes you don't realize.
It's a testament to who he is as a person.
Well, yeah, because when he asked, when we were talking about coming on the podcast, it's like, well, yeah, it was an automatic yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's a testament to his ability to create good relationships.
Absolutely.
I love that. So we know when the campaign starts and ends. Okay, we got that out. So if people are listening to this, let's say you got an entrepreneur listening mm-hmm. to this, Sarah, and they want to get involved in something like this. This challenge, maybe they're up for that kind of a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Why, how do they get involved and what can they expect?
Absolutely. We're always, it is, like I said, it is a year-round job for me. So we're always recruiting to think about 2025. We have those opportunities. We invite people to the grand finale gala. Come sit, come see what it is. And before you say yes. So connecting with me, do you want me to share my email?
Sure.
Yeah, so sarah.faith@lls.org. F-A-E-T-H is my last name. But yeah, just connect with me and happy to talk with you through how you can be a part of Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And, you know, Visionaries is our spring campaign. We have various campaigns that run throughout the year locally here in San Antonio.
What's a typical experience for somebody, an entrepreneur, for example, who wants to do what Mason is doing? What can they expect?
I feel like this is a Mason question. I mean, sure. What would you say before you're even going in? You haven't raised any money yet, but what could you expect this lead up time? So we start recruitment in the fall, typically, of, hey, come have coffee with us or lunch and let's talk about this. And I have a committee of past candidates like Mason who stay on and help me find the next them. And so then they set up these one-on-ones and we go and I explain, here's what LS is trying to do. Here's what's happening in the spring. Do you want to be one of those candidates?
Yeah, and so network, obviously, you got to have a network in order for this to work. What else, Mason?
I would say you go through different stages. The first stage when you get approached is you're still overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. When they start talking the numbers, I've donated, I think I've raised $20 for Boy Scouts. I mean, that's what you come in with. And when they start throwing the numbers around, you're just overwhelmed. It seems, but you realize, well, okay, hang on, there's a playbook, and they do have a very nice playbook, and you have Sarah every step of the way helping you. So you go from overwhelmed then just to being scared. And then you get...
And then excited,
Then
I
you
hope.
Get excited. And very quickly you get too excited, and you start to put your playbook together. And the good news is every candidate is going to do it a little bit different way. Mm-hmm. So there's a basic playbook they give you. Get a team member. It's not just all you. So as soon as you realize, okay, this isn't all me and this isn't about me, I just need to get the message together. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? And then starting looking for people to help. And people just start coming out of the woodwork to help you. And then you just get organized. We were going to try to do a big event. And we decided as a group, well, maybe we don't want to do a big event because, you know, we are in a tight time frame. And if some reason the date we pick doesn't work. So we've decided to do things every week. So we're going to have something going on every week. So that's part of what I'm doing right now is getting that calendar together and then really getting out with a network just to send it out. So here's what we're doing. Come support us. And we're going to just take this a bite at a time. And over the 10 weeks, from what Sarah's telling me, the first 2 weeks are really go, 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 because we just launched. And then the last 2 weeks prior to gala, we're getting close to our goal. Let's go out there and do that. And then, so I see it kind of as, okay, individual donations is just a lot of getting the word out. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the big benefit for LLS is people that I met, they kind of know it, but they don't. So it's great to get the word out. We will be looking, too, for sponsorships. There is ability to sponsor the gala. We'll be getting that out. And then there will be larger donations. What you don't know from a large donation, and what I'm learning now, fundraising isn't about money. Fundraising is about finding people that have means. This has to mean something to them. But then they have to have they need an opportunity that they don't have or didn't know about. And what I would say is what's different about the Visionary campaign, right, Sarah, then versus just going to the LLS website is 100% of what folks donate through the Visionary campaign. If they do it through Team Hope Warriors, that's our name, 100% of that money is going to go straight to those patient service programs. So we're excited about that. So
yeah, it's like, well, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a
time. One bite at a time.
Yep. Exactly, right? So it's that's how you look at it. It's like, if you were to have a network of 1,000 people and everybody donated $100, that's just a lot of small bites. $100, pretty much anybody can do $100. You know what I mean? So, and that's where, again, that personal relationship, those personal connections, so that when you're asking, say, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is why it means what it means. You know what I mean? And then asking for that support. I know Imad would say yes immediately. If I went and said, hey, I need $100 to promote something, it's like, do you know 1,000 of those people?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's, again, one bite at a time.
And I think that's what we've learned. I mean, I've been doing this. This is my fourth campaign, but we've been in at least San Antonio with this campaign since 2009. And it started with just one big event in an evening and raised, you know, $150,000. And then it kind of transformed to, okay, if we make this a longer campaign, make it a competition, make it these pieces, you know, find what's that sweet spot. And it's, you know, having 10 team members. And it's just year after year, we see this is what makes it successful to do this one time thing where you could raise over $50,000 in 10 weeks if you do these steps. And so that's, I think, what's made it successful for us is we just really have figured out how to make this possible for leaders in the community. They're giving their time to this. They're not going to, you know, most of them are not professional fundraisers. So that's what my position is, to help you hit those goals and feel successful. I don't expect you to be like, Sarah, what do I write in an email to someone? I have an email template. Let's personalize it for you. What do you want it to say? How do we take this and make it your own? So you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
I love it. All right. So anything else we need to get out about LLS that we haven't touched on yet for you guys? Because I think we covered pretty good amount.
TeamHopeWarriors.com starts on March 28th, and we roll all the way till June 7th. So just getting the word out. And as we post out on social media, just get out there, share those posts, and then we'll have a calendar of the events that we'll have every week, give people multiple opportunities to come in and help. And then we'll have some kind of tracker showing where we are against our goal. That's another little piece of advice Sarah gave me. I'm like, can I share my goal? She's like, well, have a goal. We might have a process to the goal. And then how close we are to that goal.
And many people do share it in their, you know, emails, texts. People are going to find out. We try to keep it as it is a competition. There is an award at the end, but also like want you to be proud of what you're raising at the end of the day.
Sure.
Because some people, their goal is to raise 50, and some are like, I want to win. And usually our winners raise 150 to 250. So it just looks different for everybody. And there's some overlap in San Antonio because we're still small, but I would say we do a pretty good job of who do we look for each year, that there's not a ton of overlap because, you know, want everyone to feel successful at the end of the day.
Love it. All right, so TeamHopeWarriors.com.
.com,
and that's Warriors with an S on it.
Correct.
Okay, cool. And can they donate on the website as well?
That goes right to his donation page, and it opens March 20th at 12:01 a.m.
All right, love it. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys coming in. And,
yes.
Of course, we'll make sure you guys get a copy of the video so you guys can, you know, promote what you guys are doing out there as well.
Yeah, thank you.
And then, of course, it'll end up on our social media as well. All right, awesome. All right, up next is Imad Gurgis, a bookkeeping expert and the owner of Simply Bookkeeping. Imad, always a pleasure to have you in the studio. I know when it comes to, you know, talking numbers, of course, you're my bookkeeper, but my wife actually likes Imad, so that's always a good, that's always a plus. So really, this idea of looking back on, you know, for a business owner to look back on the year rather than trying to look forward on the year. Really,
right.
It's all about financial education. How do you guys approach that over at Simply Bookkeeping?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mark. So it's just as important to have data, which is what we use for analytics, for future predictions. But it's really important to make sure that your previous data is accurate, because that's what we go off of. So in many cases, and we've seen this many times this season, is from those business owners who have done it yourself, right? Those DIYs, bookkeepers who kind of wear many hats. Well, what we offer at Simply Bookkeeping is we do a review session right before you turn in all your records to the CPA to file. Well, what we found a lot of times is many times, especially in your accounting softwares, there are duplicates that tend to happen. So in that case, you're inflating your sales value. So not only is everything kind of skewed then, but now you're actually paying additional taxes that you're not necessarily liable for on money that you really haven't even made. And so those duplicates, and the reason I bring this up is because we've seen a trend specifically this season with the review sessions that we've done for many folks, to where there's been a lot of duplicates that haven't been accounted for. And I mean, sometimes we've seen it from 30,000 to about 200,000 in excess sales. So I mean, imagine paying taxes on that money that you haven't even earned. It's kind of a double negative there. So once we find that error, not only do we bring it to the business owner and let them know, okay, here's the issue, this is why it occurred, this is why it happened. You know, obviously they're a business owner, they might not be an accountant per se, and so it's good to have that person or team on your side to look out for you to make sure that the future is set up correctly.
Yeah, so how do you know if your bookkeeper is doing a good job or not? I mean, what are some things that, I mean, as a business owner, what should we be looking for to say, hey, you know, am I getting the best value in a bookkeeper that I can get, or should I be looking for somebody else who can provide additional help or additional insight, additional advice throughout the year? It's like, what should I be looking for in a bookkeeper?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. It's actually many things. I would say have a bookkeeper that's resourceful. Right. So with us, for example, we come with a team of partnered CPAs as well. So if you're going through us for your bookkeeping needs, we also work alongside your CPA as well to make sure that that transition phase is smooth. So you're not only having to explain your story twice, it's only one time. Right. That's a big thing. Our main goal for our company, of course, is to relieve you of your financial stress from your business. And so how we do that is making sure that if you tell us an information once, we want to make sure that it's transitioned, it's relayed, and it's passed over accurately to the CPA so that it's a smooth flow for you as a business owner. But another thing, too, is a good bookkeeper will kind of watch out for you. So at the end of every month, if they're doing their monthly reconciliations, they're looking out to see if your number percentages on specific categories, say, for example, your marketing budget is falling within range, or was it excess, or was it too little. So those are some things that you want to look out for, is the values that are falling within your business for that specific month. And so I would say a good bookkeeper will always reach out and say, hey, let's review your finances for this previous month. And let's go over some things together to help you improve for the following month and to help you forecast for the year. Another thing, too, is one that always asks questions. You know, mm-hmm. That is the main thing. If your bookkeeper is not asking questions, I can guarantee you they are guessing on a lot of things. And guessing 90% of the times is not going to be accurate. So if your bookkeeper is not reaching out and saying, hey, we've got questions, we want to review some things with you, you should be concerned. That is a major one there.
I know with, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, no feedback doesn't mean that everything's great.
Right.
I've always thought about that. Like, you should always have some piece of feedback to bring.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if they're paying attention, then you're just naturally going to have questions. Mm-hmm. But so my wife and I were walking the evenings, and she had made a comment how this tax season was so, like, not stressful for her, because we've got Imad, who's been watching our bookkeeping for, I think, the whole year. And then, of course, we've got a really good CPA as well. So we know that those things are in order. She's not having to scramble. She's not having to spend countless nights doing this stuff, you know. And I mean, she's not a financial officer, right? I mean, that's not her deal, right? So having a professional take care of that, just so you know, the feedback is that it's been a very, very, very low stress tax season for her. So thank you for that. Really appreciate it.
That is our goal. Mission accomplished.
Well, yeah, I imagine you do that for a lot of your folks.
Oh, yeah.
So what did you learn during tax season this year, really, that business owners are still not doing when it comes to getting ready for tax season?
It's really pre-preparing. If you're a business owner that wants to grow, it's very important to look at your data and look at how the previous months and possibly the previous years have done to know when your high and low seasons are. I know we touch on that pretty often here throughout the show, but that's really important because that's what helps you forecast for the year. And it's also just as important to continue to follow through every single month to review your data and your analytics, just to be able to know, okay, where can I continuously keep improving and where are my weak points? Once you kind of tackle those small obstacles one piece at a time, then you can continue to see consistent growth throughout the years and throughout the months.
All right, and since we've got some nonprofit stuff that we were talking about in here, so when it comes to nonprofit organizations and bookkeeping, what are some of the things that, as far as managing the books for a nonprofit organization, what are some of the things that bookkeepers really need to be paying attention to?
So with nonprofits specifically, it's always knowing where the values came in from. So where did your who are your highest donors, which individuals, which corporations, which companies? And so with nonprofits, it's really important to make sure that you're reaching out to those high donors to just say, hey, thank you, you know, in appreciation, because that not only keeps them aware that, hey, they're being recognized, but it's a big value to the nonprofit itself because it's helping you with your network, which I know we briefly touched up on with you, Mark and Mason and Sarah. So that's a huge value there.
Okay, so what is so obviously compliance with, there's certain rules that need to be followed, right, when it comes to bookkeeping and nonprofits?
Yeah.
So is there anything in there that stands out as a, hey, if you're going to be doing bookkeeping or if you're a nonprofit, your bookkeeper needs to pay attention to this item?
Well, I would say specifically, and I'm sure this is a big one, is your donation letters, which are always due in January. Mm-hmm. And so if you're sending out donation letters, you have to have accurate records to know who or which corporation sent out what amounts and when. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to keep an eye out of the value, but as well as the date and the type of donation that it was. So whether it was a check, a credit card, cash, it's really important to keep record of those values to make sure that your letters that go out at the beginning of the year are accurate.
Is that where you see people failing?
Oh, yeah. And it takes a lot of time.
I have done that before for a previous nonprofit. Worked out a little bit smaller because nationally they take care of it, LLS, but putting together those letters, reconciled the donor database, it was a couple-week project for me at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot.
You were doing that.
I was doing it for an organization.
Is that something that a bookkeeper would do?
Some. We actually do it for our nonprofit.
Oh, so nice. It was not my favorite task.
It definitely helps when you have a team behind you doing it, because like 1099s, you also get a 30-day window to get all those letters sent out. So unless you have all your ducks in order, it will take an excess of time to be able to accomplish it. But that is something that we've helped a lot of our nonprofits with, and it's been a huge benefit for them.
I agree. I was going to say, if you work for a smaller nonprofit that doesn't have that national level to take care of it, it would be so wonderful.
Yeah, and
I advocate for that.
Thank you.
And that service is affordable, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, we're not talking thousands of dollars to do it. I guess, of course, it probably just depends on the size of the organization, number of hours it takes to do that. But
right.
Okay, so I've got a note here about record in kind donations. Sarah, what is that? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, so just like a monetary donation, some organizations take in kind, so services, items for and giving the value back to the donor for their records, for their bookkeeping of, I donated a couch for the teen, you know, library space or something like that. So lots of organizations take in-kind donations. I've worked for an organization that would do books every year, and they would have, you know, a big company that had so many books, and they would donate it for the kids for the beginning of their backpacks and school supplies. So there's always a need. I would say with our campaign, because we don't really have, we just have the celebration at the end through the Tobin, so we do most of our services through the Tobin. We don't always have an in-kind opportunity, but we've done it in the past. It's a great opportunity if you're like, oh, I don't have that monetary amount to give to you, but I can give you tickets for this, or I can give you these pieces. They get that tax letter that says I've made an in-kind donation at this value.
Do you see those a lot over in the bookkeeping space?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we encourage it, too, because what you don't know is what you don't know, right? So we tell a lot of business owners, if you have donated items, some have donated vehicles. Some have donated, like you were saying, a lot of books, educational items. And so we always like to inform our business owners, hey, keep a record of those items that you've donated and request the donation letter from those nonprofits so that you can keep it, you know, because that's all also going to benefit you throughout the year, too.
All right. So when, I think every business would probably have a financial dashboard where they're going to have everything kind of in front of them, and so that awareness is there, because if we understand the data, we can make better decisions as we're moving along. But as a business owner that's not really a fan of all of the numbers, I would rather not be overwhelmed by the whole process. So what's your what are your thoughts there when it comes to helping a business owner understand those financials at a glance kind of a thing when it comes to that dashboard?
Absolutely. Well, it's in the name, Mark. It's simply bookkeeping, right? So we try to simplify everything as much as we can for the business owners. It's as I like to explain, if I could teach this to a five-year-old, then I've probably figured it out and I could probably teach it to you as well. So we try to simplify everything in a way that's easily understandable by the business owner. So although it may look intricate and reports may have a lot of numbers, a lot of percentages, a lot of analytics all over it, we take it piece by piece, simple to intricate. And so we're breaking everything out in levels so that you can understand and you can start to draw the picture in your own mind yourself. So we like to deliver it very easily, simply, and in a process so that it's understood by the business owner. But at the same time, it's useful for the CPA at the year end. So we always take that two-vision approach whenever we're completing the work.
Is it still really on the business owner to interpret that data to make decisions? But I like the idea of making that as easy as possible. I mean, really, if I could just have the thumbs up or thumbs down emoji, you know, we'd be good to go, right? It's like, hey, Mod, are we just let me know where we're at, and he sends me the thumb up. Thumbs up emoji, you know what I mean? Or the party decision. Celebration means I'm getting a return. Yeah, so I like it really, really, really simple. So is that how far you're breaking it down? Or are you like, hey, look, we're giving you data, but you still need maybe a bigger company, for example, you still need somebody to interpret that data and make recommendations to the president or the CEO or whatever else. How much more of that, I guess, interpretation of data needs to be done?
It'll really depend on the size of the company itself. Of course, if you are a smaller company, then we would be able to handle it. But if you're getting into tens of millions of dollars within a company, you're going to have a team of financial support to be able to explain and break every portion out for you. So you might have a professional specifically for your accounts receivable, so all the money coming out. Versus your accounts payable, all the money that's going out, and specific specialist for that. And so it will grow as your company grows. And then, of course, the level of detail will increase there.
All right. So what about trends coming out in the bookkeeping industry? Anything that business owners should be aware of?
I would say trends is being as educated as possible, especially as nowadays getting into business may be a little bit more difficult, and so just knowing what can be expensable, what can't, and just making sure that you're always staying on top of your compliance and just really being aware and educated of where your business stands. I would say that's the biggest trend.
I have a selfish question. So Matt, as you're looking at small businesses, their budgets for 2024, are they growing? Are they cautious? When they do their outlook, what would you say? Is it
for 2024? I think most business owners are taking a little more of a caution approach.
Still, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't do tax prep, right?
That's correct. I do not do tax prep.
Why not? I mean, if you could do both, have you ever thought of that?
We have, and that's actually a fantastic question, Mark. I like the realm that we are in because we're really detailed and we're really good at what we do. I don't necessarily want to veer off the path because we deliver a really good product. And so I would like to focus in on enhance on that product and service as much as we can instead of trying to chase too many shiny balls out there. So we want to stay kind of in our lane and do it really well.
Do you have, you know, some tax preparers that you're kind of like, hey, referring to?
We do have a few really good partners. We like to, everyone's got their niche, and everyone's got their own personality as well. So we partner with a lot of CPAs, and we try to match, you know, the energy of the business owner with the CPA so that it's a smooth process, that it will be an easy transition, easy to communicate between the business owner and the CPA and us. So we always try to make that connection as best as possible.
So let's talk real quick about your approach to business. What is your approach? What's your secret sauce in there? You know what I mean? Because I know you love what you do, but what's your approach to business that maybe stands out compared to you, other folks that are in the bookkeeping business?
That's a good question. my approach to business is, one, always to start with something that you think is fun and enjoyable in doing. I mean, if you're not doing something fun, I mean, really, what's the point of anything, right? If you're not enjoying it, then, you know, as you continue to grow, your team will see that. So your approach to business should always be, okay, this is something that I thoroughly enjoy doing. I can help someone. I also enjoy doing that. And I can relay that to other team members. So as we continue to grow, I think it's a big part that our team members really all just enjoy doing what we do. We make it fun. We make it enjoyable. We have fun about it. Of course, we're serious and we make sure everything's in order, but we make sure that, you know, we always come together and at the end of the day, everyone's having a good time.
Yeah,
they
I
love
think
what they do.
The fact that you're not wanting to expand into other shiny objects mm-hmm. shows that you're really focused on doing the one thing at an extremely high level. I think that's a unique selling position right there. You know what I mean? So, and it's important because you want to get those numbers right. And I also want you to be available to help interpret things if I've got questions as well. All right. Well, Imad, if folks want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Absolutely. So they can check out our website at www.simplybookkeeping.com, and that's simply with an I. Or they can actually reach out directly to me. I would be happy to set up an initial free consultation to help them with their business. And that's Imad, E-M-A-D, at simplybookkeeping.com. And that's S-I-M-P-L-I, bookkeeping with a double K.
Yeah, double O, double K, double E, right?
That's right.
That's a lot of doubles going on in there. All right, well, thank you, Imad. I appreciate you coming in, as always. And as we wrap up the show, a quick reminder to check out our latest podcast and catch video version of the show anytime by visiting our website at satalkradio.com. That's going to be it for this one. You guys did a great job, everybody. And we'll see you on the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks again, Mark.